Welcome to Internet Radio Rewind, the weekly review from Rain News. I'm Brad Hill, and this week, CarPlay comes out to play. A field day for earnings. Samsung spills the beans for milk. The Electronic Frontier Foundation tries to rescue podcasting. And a birthday of the man who probably didn't invent radio. We now know more about what car listening will be like in Apple's CarPlay system, thanks to recent exhibitions at the New York Auto Show. First of all, unsurprisingly, CarPlay will use Siri, Apple's voice-activated virtual companion, to control music. But at the same time, physical controls can be implemented at the discretion of the automaker. There will be touchscreens in some cars, knobs in others, and sometimes both. The iPhone gets connected to the dashboard, and the driver never has to touch it when using CarPlay. The system was demonstrated in Volvo, Mercedes-Benz, and Hyundai cars. CarPlay will start appearing in showrooms this year. Thursday was a huge day for quarterly financial reports of the biggest companies in the listening space. Satellite broadcaster SiriusXM, radio group and webcaster Clear Channel, and leading internet radio firm Pandora. Each of these companies disclosed quarterly finances, but also how many people are listening. SiriusXM added 267,000 new subscribers in the first quarter, bringing its total to 26 million people who pay to listen, mostly in the car. This year, Sirius expects to net 1.25 million new subscribers. Clear Channel's blast of financial information covered its immense radio business, live events, outdoor advertising, and other business segments. But iHeartRadio, the digital app, is the company's main public-facing brand. iHeart grew its audience 66% year-over-year to 47 million registered users. During the call, CEO Bob Pittman touted new distribution agreements for iHeartRadio, including Amazon Fire TV, Apple's CarPlay system, and at least one smartwatch. You might not believe it now, but soon you'll be listening to music and radio through your watch.
To sum up, we kicked off the year with strong momentum, and as our first quarter demonstrates, we are executing well.
That's Pandora CEO Brian McAndrews. All eyes and ears were on Pandora for its earnings brief delivered after hours on Thursday, especially investors who sent the stock shivering downward on Friday in a dramatic skid that closed out 17% lower for the day. Investors didn't like Pandora's guidance for the next quarter, but the company did meet expectations for the first quarter. During the call, McAndrews noted Pandora's 75 million monthly users and 250 million user accounts. He mentioned the rising cost of music licensing, was vague about international expansion, and bragged about the company's advertising sales force of 328 people, 100 of whom work in local offices in 37 cities. Pandora is attempting to bite into radio's local advertising business. There's always something new with the music streaming services. Beats Music, which launched in January, began allowing people to subscribe through the Apple iOS app. How could that be different, you ask, since Beats is a subscription-only service? Well, it's because Apple takes 30% of any transaction that starts on its platform and takes that cut every month. So Beats Music, and by the way, many other media subscription companies, has forced users to sign up on its website, which is inconvenient and results in negative app reviews. This change came at about the same time as reports that record label executives are unhappy with how quickly, or slowly, Beats Music is signing up users. Meanwhile, Samsung's new music service called Milk will soon become more of a business if we can believe internal marketing material that was spilled. Samsung has offered Milk free of charge, free of commercials, and even free of any sign-up procedure. That's a whole lot of free. But soon it will run commercials and offer a commercial-free premium version, costing $4 a month, so Milk will look pretty much like Pandora. Speaking of Pandora, again, it has been juggling incoming lawsuits left and right, plus starting a 2-year negotiation with the U.S. government over music royalties. So the company hired a veteran congressional chief of staff who knows his way around the Capitol. His name is David Grimaldi, and his last job was with the FCC. Switching focus to Spotify, That service got grouchy and put an end to a very entertaining stunt. A band called Wolfpack tried to raise money for a concert tour by releasing a fake album in Spotify called Sleepify. This faux album contained 10 short tracks, each one completely silent.
Yeah, like that.
The band told its fans to stream the thing on repeat mode every night, all night, while they slept. The ensuing royalties would fund the concert tour, and the band promised that tickets to their shows would be free. It's a clever campaign, and it ran for a few weeks before Spotify shut the door on it, removing the tracks. Naturally, the band responded with another album called Official Statement. That one is probably not going to get streamed all night. Podcasting is being sued. This story started a few months ago when Adam Carolla, one of the most successful independent podcasters, was served a patent lawsuit by a company called Personal Audio, which claims a patent for the basic platform of downloadable audio. Two other media companies are also being sued in what is widely regarded as patent trolling. At stake, the open platform for audio programming on the internet. What's new this week is the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a kind of sheriff's office for civil liberties on the internet. They received the go-ahead from the government patent office to challenge the legitimacy of the patent in question. If the EFF is successful, the patent will be invalidated and the lawsuit will go away. Finally, Friday was the birthday of Guglielmo Marconi, the disputed inventor of radio. In fact, the first patents of radio technology were granted to another inventor, Nikola Tesla. Marconi used those patents to build an international wireless telegraph business, and eventually the U.S. Congress granted Marconi the patents for inventing radio transmission and reception. Then, some years later, the government reverted the patents back to Tesla, who in the meantime had died, furious at how the whole thing had played out. Anyway, Marconi's birthday reminds us that it has been nearly 100 years since the first radio station was created in 1920. The World Wide Web is a little over 20 years old and has rattled radio's cage. In 80 years, when the web has grown as old as radio is now, who knows what we'll be listening to? That's a wrap for this edition of Internet Radio Rewind from Rain News. I'm Brad Hill. The music is by Valtteri Kujala. Look him up on SoundCloud or visit valtterikujala.com. Remember to subscribe to Rain News for the daily update. It's the everyday heartbeat of Internet Radio. Look for the blue button at rainnews.com.